You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smart Gilas Filipinas podcast. Yeah, we're not sounding the way we normally sound, and that's because while we're all complete, we're actually recording from our own home. So we're doing a Skype call right now, and we're recording it via GarageBand. But the boys are back together again. The gang is back. Stancy at your service.
It's period. It's period.
Raph Camus at home. Ro Moran at home.
Reporting from Makati.
Ro Moran in his underwear.
Yeah. And we're coming to you and bringing the number one 27 ranked podcast in the sports and recreation category on the iTunes store.
Wait, that's a pivot in that, isn't
it? Yeah. That's a huge jump.
Pulling that announcement about 170 something, 160 something.
In a span of like a week, 2 weeks?
Yeah, yeah. No, a week is in, no, last week, because we heard news that we were 127.
Right.
123.
Right.
Now, we just dropped like 4 spots down. But where are we in relation to Cheap Heat?
Cheap Heat is number 113. That's 14 spots up.
Uh-oh, we're closing the gap, huh?
Yeah.
Closing the gap ever since. Like,
one step at a time.
Give it a month or so.
Well, if you want to help us achieve that goal of closing the gap on Cheap Heat, you know how to do that. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Download the podcast every week. Rate us, please. Leave a comment. Subscribe via Buzzsprout or your favorite podcast apps on Google Play. Podcast Addict, right?
That's right.
Podcast Addict for Android subscribers.
Any other podcast app on the App Store. Google Play, my bad.
Yeah. So that's how you can help us, of course, close the gap on Cheap Heat and continue to rise through the sports and hobbies category on the iTunes store. Now, as we said earlier, we're not recording at the Mellow 94.7 studios tonight kasi napakalakas ng ulan. Is this still Egay or Falcon na ba to?
It's Falcon.
This is Falcon.
So it packs quite the punch.
Damn.
Oh, you shit.
I got that. Yeah, that was good. That was good. I like that.
So my story is dahil umuulo ng malakas.
I love it. Should I stay or should I go?
Couldn't go anywhere until a few hours ago when it stopped, and now it's a bit more serene at this point. But we don't know that for sure tomorrow, I guess.
Camus, what's your story? You weren't even supposed to make it.
I wasn't supposed to make it because I called in sick for work today. I didn't feel so nice. So I went to the clinic, got my flu shot. I'm a lot better now. And I don't want to leave the house.
Yeah, I can't blame you. I mean, I wouldn't want to be around you either. Not now, at least.
Oh, more often than not, you would say that, though.
Oi! Wait, is this the cue? Is this the cue for me to bring up the video from last Friday night?
Ikaw!
Because that was one hell of a video. What? Many graphic things were said in that video.
Who took this video?
Oh, Tracy took the video. Tracy Abad from the Madhouse.
Because
the story, at least from Tracy's end, was that she and Quark were hanging out at Sagiho, and then they run into Camus. And the first thing Camus says is, and I quote, "Quark Henares, I love you," end quote.
He does. That's been established on the podcast canon.
So he starts going on a diatribe, basically cutting a promo while drunk and shit. And Tracy whips out her phone and hits record and captures all 97 seconds of it and subsequently sends it to me via Viber.
What was said in this video?
Stuff like, nagtatampo daw si Camus na he doesn't get to go to Singapore and that I get to go to Singapore and that he doesn't get to have any pasalubong. Among other things.
because we haven't seen each other yet, you hadn't come back?
Yeah,
you
also told me to suck some cock.
Okay. Yeah, I did.
He said what?
Yeah, Camus also told me to suck some cock.
Why?
I have no idea.
Sorry. Okay, so I'm looking at this GIF right now. Sorry, I got a bit sidetracked because it's so distracting. It's so hypnotizing, actually. It's a GIF on loop. It's a GIF on loop of Tomoaki Honma countering a Rainmaker by hitting a Kokeshi on Okada. I'm going to send you the link. I just want you to look at it because it's so hypnotizing. But anyway, carry on.
Wait lang. Si Honma is supposed to be a comedy character, right?
In a way.
Yeah. In a way, yes.
So he just fans the same move.
He can't be taken seriously, though.
I mean, that's all I remember from him from Wrestle Kingdom 9. So, like, I know that Yano is the comedy character, pero I'm not sure about Honma.
Well, he's trying to be Hong Kong. That's all. Anyway, speaking of Japan, let's get right into it. Since I brought it up anyway.
Yeah.
Beast of the East, guys, what do you got from the official, unofficial viewing party at Skinny Mike's BGC?
Well, from the Skinny Mike's event, it was not so bad. We had a lot of food. It was quite nice. But the match that we had to see, of course, was Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens.
Yeah, but I'm with the album.
I'd say there are about 15 of us.
So, ilang TV yung ano? Ilang TV yung sakop niyo?
For an unofficial.
Well, that was like promoted what? 2 weeks or 3 days? Sorry, 2 days, 3 days right before the.
In advance, yeah, barely anything. And you know, having enough people to fill up two tables works out quite nice.
No, you know what? Our friend of the podcast, Kevin Davis, is all right with that. It's just some business for Skinny Mike's.
It is. And I mean, no one really goes into a bar at 5:30 in the afternoon.
That's true.
On a Saturday.
That's true.
So it's what's best for business, for all businesses involved.
So how was naman yung experience niya? Despite the, you know, the house show card and the house show quality of matches. Well, they weren't all bad.
But they weren't all bad. I mean, we were able to mark out a bit as a group, you know, do a bit of the chanting, do the arm, the Finn Balor arm thing.
Yeah, that's badass.
Open space.
And it doesn't look as badass when you're just like two tables full of wrestling fans doing it, not like the whole arena.
Oh, naman. I mean, I can tell you from firsthand experience that there's nothing that compares to actually doing that in an arena full of people. As in, tangina.
Singapore doesn't even know that shit.
Yun lang. I mean, like, you know, there was just like a small Balor Club section, which consists of Red, me, Pub, and like a bunch of other guys. Probably that Singaporean guy. Teka na.
Going back
to Singapore. Sorry, no. Really quickly lang. Let me just tell you this, because my running diary of the Singapore experience doesn't sum up the fact that si angry Kevin Owens fan guy from Singapore had that funny Singaporean accent. So Red and I are walking outside the Singapore's indoor stadium. And then this guy rants. He goes, "Bro,
okay. Bro,
can you believe this? He does not know who Kevin Owen is. Can you believe he doesn't know who Kevin Owen is?" And puta na tawa lang kami ng tawa because
you know. He sounded like an African.
No, that's really how he sounded like. It was so funny.
All right.
Like he literally dropped the S in Kevin Owens.
Sino ba hindi nakakilala kay Kevin Owens?
I think some dude in his section.
All right.
Like, oh God! That's
he's only
so
been around. No, it's only been around for like a few months. If you don't follow NXT, you don't follow the show that often. You might not know who he is. It's 3 hours after all. You can get lost in the shuffle.
It is true. It is true.
This just in, really
so,
quickly.
Come back to Beast in the East.
Yeah. Sorry, go. No. Go. Beast in the East.
Where was I?
Yeah, I'm done with my report.
But how many screens did you guys get?
Enough tables to fill people, and then Singapore.
Oh, how many screens did you
get? We got, I think, three, four, five, six. Not all. We got like half. And the main house audio was the rest thing, so we were good.
Nice. Was Kevin Davis there?
Not for long. To set it up, and he had to run.
Okay.
Fair enough. Well, is it too early for us to actually tell them that we're doing Summerfest?
No. We have to enough. we might as well get the word out. Early word that we are actually doing a Summerfest viewing party, not just as requested, because a lot of people have been coming up to us and asking, are we doing a Summerfest viewing party? And we'd like to tell you that that's been part of the plans ever since the WrestleMania Play Button viewing party was such a hit.
I know. I mean, you know what? I don't think any of us expected that the WrestleMania Play Button viewing party would be that big of a hit, but because you guys were there, you know, the outpouring of support and the anticipation was just so huge, we're thinking of doing it for SummerSlam, and we're officially calling the event Summerfest.
Word to Jeremy Piven. But, you know what? I have to say that I'm a bit afraid of them because despite whatever hype we generate, SummerSlam isn't the same as WrestleMania, and sana lang marami na pumunta, even though we're gonna put the word out right now.
I hear we have a lot of prizes to give out for this time around. So if that's not going to be an additional come on, I don't know. I hear that we have some. We got some merch. We got some merch. We got some title belts. We got some T-shirts and a whole bunch of other giveaways.
Is it the same stuff we were able to give away?
Same stuff I'm willing to give away on the website. Yeah, basically. But it's not secondhand shit.
Going back to PC. You were saying about Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens.
Match of the night, right there.
Can you believe that they actually pulled the trigger? We mentioned last week that we didn't think it would happen because it was still a house show. But hey, you guess
but there was a percentage. There was a percentage of us that, you know, we felt that if they're ever going to do it in Japan, they're going to do it with this one.
The way I see it, I think it was just really convenient then for them to do it in Japan, given Balor's history there. That's one. Number two, I felt like they knew that they were onto something because a network exclusive event. Like, if that big of an event of a title change were to happen on a network exclusive, it would give people more of a reason to tune in at the next network exclusive, diba?
That's true from a programming standpoint, and I do understand that, but I think this is just really one-time capitalization on a house show, and then maybe if they have, I don't know, something to the level of a Canadian super show or an English super show or one of the Madison Square Garden things, I don't think they're going to be able to do this, I'd say, on a regular basis.
No, the rumor actually is they're planning to do it on a more frequent basis.
Yeah.
Since it was such a success. They're good for others, in other places where you don't have to run the show at 5:30 Eastern time.
Exactly.
So actually, standard American time.
Is to make it more, you know, more time friendly for the Americans. But like for once, I'm actually happy now. We got an event where we don't have to wake up extra early in the morning, or you know, we don't have
Japan.
To like, yeah, basically. Nah, you know, we don't have to adjust to other people's time. Or to you know, the Western Hemisphere's time.
For those of you who have been paying attention to New Japan this week, Dominion just happened. Dominion 7.5. And this was quite enjoyable. I mean, this card as a whole is stacked. But the main event, I have to say, is one of the best end sequences to a title match that you can see.
That's what
I've never seen styles.
That's what I've been hearing.
So yeah, I think we can spoil it at this point. Okada takes the belt from AJ Styles in an end sequence that has counter after counter after counter to near finish, and it's a heart racing end sequence. But with the title change comes G1 Climax coming up, I think, at the middle of the month, end of the month.
Yeah. No, it starts like middle of July and ends early August. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a lot of interesting matchups going on in the brackets. And Ro, I think you have something to say about who you think top contender for this.
As much as I kind of, you know, jumped on the bandwagon here, I think it's Nakamura's win. So he doesn't have the the National Championship anymore, and he's one of the biggest stars NJPW has. But if you hear NJPW, you think of Nakamura and Okada. And if Styles, you know, AJ, and you also think AJ Styles. But since Okada is pretty much a huge face at the moment, and, well, Nakamura also kind of the same way, but he doesn't kind of act like it. So I think since he has nothing at the moment, like, it's his to win so they can set up the heavyweight championship match at WrestleMania 10.
But is it characteristic of New Japan to set up a feud like this on this magnitude na 6 months in advance, at least?
The G1 Climax title shot that you get when you win the whole thing, it's for Wrestle Kingdom, the Climax. Am I correct in saying
yes?
So yun yung pinaka-Royal Rumble nila?
It will block you into the main event of Wrestle Kingdom, regardless of whoever the champion's event.
But that title shot can be contested for and lost to someone else.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be facing the same guy when you get your opportunity at the Wrestle Kingdom.
No,
I think that happened 2 years ago.
The shot that you get after winning G1 Climax can also be defended.
Like a Money in the Bank style? It can be defended.
So that answers that question. Whether they do lock in the
title shot.
So it could be conceivably either be Okada
transferred, given up.
When we look at the Wrestle Kingdom 10, it's going to be a huge matchup. Either way, Japan is building up their international mainstream presence, and the best way to do that is to make the most out of your big matchups. So
yes, and there is no bigger matchup than Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, and I think the biggest matchup they can have is Nakamura versus Okada, but you can also conceivably possibly run Nakamura versus Styles or Nakamura versus Tanahashi. That stuff works too. But if you're looking to make the most out of your big name stars, it has to be Okada Nakamura.
Okada and Nakamura, Okada and Nakamura are the two guys who are getting the heavy push, not just in Japan, but also across other properties
ROH.
I don't get it, though. I mean, if you guys are calling Okada and Nakamura the top two, then bakit Ace of New Japan pa rin si Tanahashi?
The thing is, they're John Cena.
He carries the whole show.
He's their Cena.
He doesn't have to... Yeah, exactly. He's John Cena. But John Cena has been doing it a lot better for the past few years.
You know, John Cena calls himself the face of runs the place, but he's not the world champion at the moment.
So good and then, So Tanahashi's also like in the same state where he's kind of taking a step back and parang nasa upper mid card na lang siya.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much this year by the looks of it.
Fair enough.
So basically, Tanahashi versus Yano at the moment, just like running, let's say, Cena versus Ruda, or Cena versus Bray Wyatt, something like that. Or Cena versus whoever, Stardust, whatever.
Sure.
Something like that.
Mm.
So yeah, looking forward to G1 Climax. We'll talk about it as it goes on, maybe. Watch out for updates on Smart Henry. We'll be previewing it with a primer.
Yeah, the idea for the primer is to make it easy for newcomers to NJPW to kind of digest who's who and what the G1 Climax is.
Right, it's not a porn thing. Sorry, EJ. So move on to Raw.
Yeah,
I think everyone got to get this the elephant in the room out the way. There is no other, thing to talk about really, other than the insane main event.
Well, the car crash of a car crash that happened.
Oh yeah, and that. The car crash of a car crash.
Well, if you're gonna sum up Raw in two matches, it would be Cena versus Cesaro 2 and Lesnar versus Carr.
Yeah, Lesnar versus Carr is obviously foregone.
It's a hardcore match.
Yeah, my favorite squash match, easily, of 2015.
did you really not see it coming? The car would go by.
I just didn't.
How's that?
No, I just didn't see it coming. I don't know why. Di ko lang naisip.
Have you not seen what happens to cars in wrestling shows?
Well, Eddie Guerrero's cars are largely left untouched.
Eddie Guerrero's car was smashed in a parking lot brawl. Randy Orton's NASCAR car was smashed by Kofi.
Sure, and ADR's car was, you know, trashed by Sheamus, yeah.
Exactly.
See, JBL, but was his car ever trashed? Meron, no?
Somebody dropped that in.
I think Undertaker once chokeslammed JBL.
Yeah, somebody exploded, yeah.
Okay. So
how do you not know this is gonna happen?
Fine.
Too hard.
No, yeah, wrestling logic.
I think the only car that's escaped has to be Steve Austin's truck.
Yeah, then again, that's a truck.
At this point, yeah, the big monster truck of his.
Yeah, that's a truck. I mean, like, right. Fat chance. I'm going to see that.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
We have Stone Cold 2K16 cover.
Yeah, that's right. He's on the cover. People are excited because it's 2K16 supposedly has the largest roster ever, which, by the way, I think is a pretty stupid thing to say every year. Like, every year they always say it's the largest roster ever, and yet every year, palaging may kulang. And I'm not even talking about those guys that they eventually add into DLC. Parang sasabihin nila na, like, you have like 60-ish characters to choose from, and then you get the game, and the default list is just the basic guys who you see on TV. And not necessarily the guys you want to play as, diba?
Maybe that's why they're advertising it more. I think the selling point is that this year, so if I don't, everyone you can think of, maybe even Creepy Greg from NXT, is going to be in the game.
I'd love that. I'd want to see Creepy Greg in the game.
That would be fun to see.
Like, I think they have 150 at or 160 character models, parang ganun na yung range. I could be wrong, but I just know it's over 100 for sure. I just hope, just one last thing, I just hope that they don't try to screw the fans over by having multiple models of one character. Like, I'm not sure if it was last year, diba, or the year before, now they had multiple Triple H's, multiple Chris Jericho's, like multiple John Cena's. So parang, yun na yun, kaya siya dumami.
That's it's cheap marketing for you.
Yeah, I guess. Is there anything you want to talk about but other than Cena Cesaro?
You don't want to talk about the recent thing.
Right.
I explained it pretty thoroughly in this week's textual chocolate column. Basically, I just wanted to say that, you know, it's kind of iffy if you cheer for Rusev because this guy is still the same guy who stalks his ex-girlfriend, even though he's hot as hell. Kind of iffy, kind of creepy. You don't want to glorify that. It's getting it. That's kind of the problem with this kind of
glorifying. It gets rapey vibes.
Yes,
it gets rapey vibes from me.
You're glorifying the rapey vibes by cheering for this guy against Dolph Ziggler, who was the asshole jock who's rubbing the fact that he's with Lana in Rusev's face. I mean, well, let me ask you first. Do you empathize with Rusev in any way?
No. I don't.
There's a small moment.
That's fine. Just,
but
just
not
say,
completely.
No, I just want to ask if there was a part of you that empathized with Rusev in that segment or in this feud so far.
Honestly, not really.
In this feud? Not really.
Yeah, even before Textual Chocolate, like I don't see anything to root for in Rusev yet. I'm waiting, pero what happened on Raw isn't enough yet for me. I'm not like, unlike say Brandon Stroud, who's on Team Rusev for life.
I mean, like, you know this.
I felt something. It's like you feel a little bad for him, but then at the same time you realize, well, this is his own fault, so you're not supposed to feel bad.
Yeah, exactly, right? Exactly. That's why I think it's if we're glorifying him in some way. Because even though you were probably once in the position now, you were crushing this girl, and then the more handsome, more popular guy comes in and swoops her out of your reach, even if that happened in your life before, I don't know, awkward. But okay, hit the lineup, and it's not an excuse to really empathize with Rusev. But it's, again, like I said in Textful Chocolate this week, that's from Henry, you can actually, there's a possibility this person can evolve into someone you can cheer for without feeling bad or cheering for him.
Wait lang, this just in. I'm on Instagram right now, and
right, fine.
You remember yung happy birthday Chris Panzer post ko from last week?
Sure.
So I tagged friend of the podcast, Jam Alas of Magic, and she just commented right now after like a lengthy exchange. She just commented right now, and I quote, "Love you po at PWR Panzer, blushing emoticon." End quote.
Wait, I gotta see this. I'm gonna go look at your Instagram right now.
Yeah, hurry up before she has a change of heart and deletes this shit. This is glorious. Did you see it?
Right now, I'm loading my Instagram. Anyway, keep going. Back to Rusev for a moment.
Yeah.
It's still possible for him to evolve, to write him as a better person. If we're going that way, say, okay, if I were WWE, you say, okay, I see that this section of my audience has nerve touched by what happened, and you might as well write a redemption story for the guy they wanted to cheer for. So why not, right? You take advantage of it, and then maybe make a new star in the process and make something out of a shitty guy.
Alam mo, I find it funny lang, Ro. I just want to bring up the point that you raised sometime yesterday at or 2 days ago na Summer Rae seems to be the only babyface in the feud kasi she just genuinely wants to help Rusev out. And I actually have a counter to that, mostly because she was the one who laid her hands on Lana first. Like, Lana has never been... Lana's never been a fighting character. Like, she's always been no contact. And the first time she has established contact, aside from you, Rusev accidentally hitting her at Mania, was when Summer Rae slapped her across the face.
I like to think that she was helping her friend out by defending him. You know, but maybe she sees Lana as a heel after when she's deliberately put Rusev through. Because they was having that then, Hannah. So I've been at that she was a bitch for deliberately seducing Dolph to make herself jealous.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily the case.
What do you mean?
No, it is the seduction.
No.
Seduction.
What do you mean it's not necessarily the case? That's what she said. That's what Lana said.
Yeah, they acknowledged it was a game.
Okay, then.
Someone's not paying attention.
Sayang, hindi ka na pwede maging Greg the Virgin Valentine.
He doesn't even know who Greg the Virgin is.
Yeah, probably not. Sorry, Thomas.
Who is Greg the Virgin?
The stats guy of GP.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, again, I'm back for the third time. It's possible, but to write Rusev honorably, and that's just the best way to start, the simplest way to start, I guess, is to have him be remorseful of how he acted and to not be a douchebag about things.
I be find apologetic for a change.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. I just find it weird that, you know, 2 years after, people have been clamoring for Ziggler to be like a fan favorite and shit, and you know how he's supposedly at the apex of, you know, people's adoration for him, we're finding a reason to like turn on him. You know what I mean?
I think it's not finding a reason. It's more of frustrated at what he's doing right now, what he's being made to do. So
it's not what he should be doing. It's not to his talent level or the level that, you know, we appreciate.
I also tweeted during Raw that Rusev was better when he was out here trying to save the company. Which is true. He was better that way.
Cena, sorry. Wait, Rusev trying to save the company. What? Sorry.
Ziggler. My bad.
Ziggler. Ah, yeah. No, yeah. I totally get you. Like, mas maganda naman talaga yung story niya at the time. Yung the Survivor Series view. Can you call that peak Ziggler though? Like, if Dolph Ziggler's WWE career ended today, when did peak Ziggler happen?
Yeah, I would agree that it was Survivor Series 2014.
Despite the fact that he was champion at some point, despite the fact that he was Mr. Money in the Bank at some point. Didn't he have another one? The one day Reign has an asterisk, but didn't he have another one? The one where he cashed in on ADR.
Yeah, that's also an asterisk because he spent most of it in a bus.
Damn it, Swagger.
So yeah, it is peak Ziggler because they gave him the pinfall, and that's huge. Even though never mind that Sting was there to help him out, but the fact that he looked strong in the win. By himself, that is peak Ziggler, unless something else happens.
Sorry, now that you mentioned Sting helped him out, it reminds me of Eddie's win at No Way Out, because people conveniently forget that Goldberg helped Eddie out also.
I guess, what Sting did lead to... What? First thing, it did lead to Ziggler winning, but... the Goldberg interference in the No Way Out 2004 championship match was a spear, but Eddie still had to finish the match by himself. It didn't lead to a pinfall victory.
Mm. Okay.
So it's okay that people are cheering for Ziggler if they find something to get behind, but. We still have to remind them that this guy is still creepy, stalky, ex-boyfriend, creepy vibes.
Right. Are we good with Rusev and Ziggler?
Anything else, you guys? Good with Rusev, yeah.
Ako wala na.
Yep, we're good.
You want to touch on yung commentary notes?
Wala na.
Wait, you guys want to touch on the commentary notes?
Sure. I'm still going through them, but Anthony and I are writing up a really quick. It's been taking us a while now. We've been writing up a reaction to it, and it's interesting. For one, because it's ridiculous. You can see where it's really ridiculous. But on the other hand, that guy has some sensible suggestions. And those suggestions are not when you hear commentary today, they're not being applied now. So it kind of makes me wonder it kind of makes me wonder what guide are they using now? Is it still this one? Is there a new one? Because it doesn't line up.
Yeah, because keep in mind, if you actually saw the commentary notes that made the rounds on the internet. I believe that's from 2010 because it says World Heavyweight Champion Jack Swagger. So in the 5 years since that was written, what happened? Because I agree with you that there were some points in those notes that made total sense. Like for one thing, I can tell you that I like how they advise commentators to ask questions and to make the viewers connect the dots on their own instead of flatly... Sorry, what? Right, no, because I remember that part specifically. They tell the announcers to make the viewers connect the dots on their own by asking questions instead of blatantly telling the viewers that X is beating up Y because of Z. Instead of doing that, diba, parang what must be going through John Cena's mind now that he is aligned with Bret Hart? I remember that part. Diba, parang, has John Cena sacrificed his future and his career by aligning with Bret Hart and going against Mr. McMahon? You know, stuff like that. It's a very subtle thing. But when you think about it, you realize na ang laking difference niya in terms of nuances.
It also says that you're not supposed to scream. So who forgot to tell JBL this rule?
Does JBL scream a lot? Like, I think malakas na talaga yung boses niya.
Yeah, he does. No.
Yes, he does.
He does. When he gets all indignant.
Yes, it's like every third sentence.
When he gets all preachy and defensive.
Ah, when he goes, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
See, you know,
what else?
I think Booker screams a lot.
No, he doesn't. He's in it. He's excited.
He's excitable.
Yeah, he gets agitated, but he doesn't scream. JL screams. When he makes a rant. But actually, these rules, if you look at the parts that don't, that are not nonsense, you know, if you look at the parts that are sensible, they actually teach the announcers how to match with JR. So this shit is what JR does. Yung mga descriptive, be connecting the dot. That's all I missed about.
Yeah, no, I totally get it.
It's JR.
I found it interesting that they were very specific about talagang mga words that they didn't want to be said, aside from the obvious wrestling, blood, yung parang even title shot, na parang you don't get a shot at the title. You get what I mean? Na parang napakaliit na bagay, pero when you think about it,
yeah,
in their shoes.
Championship opportunity.
My reaction to that in our article is that I see Kevin Dunn is to blame. For example, please never use the words title changing hands again for Kevin Dunn. Titles are won or lost, they don't change hands. My reaction to that is I think Kevin Dunn really loves Batista's portrayal as Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Because he can't take yung mga metaphors and similes?
Yeah. Like, Jesus Christ. Everyone knows what changing hands mean, right? Everyone knows what on the line means. It's actually splitting hairs when it comes to words to avoid, belt strapped. We don't have belts or straps. We have championships and titles.
Championships.
The belt represents something. So, wait, you just said right there that the belt represents something. So you do have a belt.
Hold on a minute. I wonder though if there are like smart announcers. Like I'm assuming Renee Young is a smart announcer. I wonder if she's ever looked at these notes and thought, this shit, like parang ang bobo naman. Why am I dumbing myself down?
No, I think Cole is a smart announcer. Just being able to say.
Yeah, but Cole actually was really good for Beast of the East, where he basically had free reign.
Oh yeah, we forgot to say that. We forgot to give props to Michael Cole, you know. Messing
Michael Cole calling it without BKM in his ear.
Without messing up Bull Nakano and Tatsumi Fujinami's name aside, he did a good job.
It's been a while since we could actually say Michael Cole did a good job.
I guess Vince wasn't awake for the show.
He wasn't there in Japan. He didn't go.
Couldn't have been because Cole was able to name drop NJPW during the show.
Oh wow. Wait, sorry.
Hello, doggy.
Yeah, my dog.
Coming to you live from the internet. This is Breaking Kayfabe News with Stan Lacy. Boss up.
Excuse me, Pope. Sports entertainment mogul Vince McMahon has compiled a list of stringent rules that fans of World Wrestling Entertainment are expected to follow. This is all according to backstage documents leaked today on Reddit. The documents provide detailed, almost dictatorial guidelines for how fans should self-identify as members of the WWE Universe, for whom they should cheer, and how they should properly behave at WWE live events. Among the dozens of bullet points on 17 pages of guidelines, they include, number 1, Total Divas is quality entertainment. Watch it. Number 2, vote in WWE polls and pretend your vote actually counts. It's fun. Number 3, do not chant for commentators. They are not the stars. Number 4, do not bring up the whole Kitty Vick thing. Number 5, enjoy NXT, but not too much. Remember, Raw and SmackDown exist too. Number 6, don't forget who gave you all of this, your Lord and Savior, Vincent Kennedy McMahon. This revelation of the confidential documents is the second such leak in as many days. Yesterday, McMahon's purported instructions for WWE announcers leaked online, revealing the authoritarian control he exerts over practically every word uttered on WWE programming. According to one backstage source at WWE, the documents are being released by a mysterious, disgruntled employee known only by his online pseudonym, Long Island Z. Back to you, Raph Hamas.
Thank you, Stanley C., for that kayfabe news update. Now we return to our regularly scheduled podcast.
Right. So, aside from the fact that Michael Cole did one hell of a job at Beast in the East, we'd be very much remiss if we did not talk about Cena Cesaro, which goes into pick of the week. Kasi, can we make it like a unanimous pick of the week, or is one of you going to call dibs on this?
I actually want to call something from Dominion, but go ahead.
I'm not going to.
It's honorable mention of the week.
If you're taking this as pick of the week, then I can choose something else.
Yeah, sure. I'll take it as pick of the week.
That's
fair. Yeah, Cena Cesaro, easily pick of the week, just because I didn't expect Cesaro to even have another match, period. Diba? Tapos,
yeah, me too.
Especially after last week. And then, add to that the fact that both Cena and Cesaro, and I gotta give Brandon a shout out for this, diba? Na, these guys were jet lagged, coming from Singapore and then Japan. Tapos, for them to have gone at the rate that they did, and they wrestled a 30-minute match, which was, well, I could call it a classic already. Based
it's
on Raw.
It's not just the fact that they wrestled a 30-minute match. When you take into consideration their particular wrestling styles, that they actually do a lot of strong man lifts, to do that in the middle of a 30-minute match or at the tail end of a 30-minute match, that is some insane endurance conditioning. Because by that time, any normal person would not be able to lift anything as heavy as
anything.
No, you can lift something. You can lift a human being lift. You know,
above your head and do it with that much height.
Exactly. So it's insane. Just that's the kind of conditioning these two guys have.
Sobrang galing pa ng, I just love the fact that Cesaro brought out everything. I love that Cesaro brought out everything. Like you could see him pull out crossface after crossface, diba? I don't recall ever having seen Cesaro bust out the crossface.
And I want to say that someone in the back has to pay attention because Cesaro wrestled like a main eventer out there. You don't see that kind of map so much.
He is a main eventer.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
He is a main eventer at that level. You know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and you're splitting hairs with me, but I'm trying to say that technically he's in a mid-card, and there is an expectation of a mid-card level match. And he just wrestled like he was...
That was above and beyond.
Yeah, he wrestled like a main eventer, and... Okay, now that everyone can see that Cesaro can actually hang in the main event, by working like he's in the event, someone has to pay attention and give him something more than he gets now. But it's kind of sad then that Tyson Kidd has to be injured severely for him to get this kind of shine.
You have a point there, Ro. And, you know, it is unfortunate, but then this is one of the circumstances that he can be in. I have to say, two weeks straight of stealing the show, that's something for him to be proud of.
No, and I think you also have to consider now, even if nobody in the back who matters paid attention to the fact that he had two consecutive, pick of the week worthy matches, the fact that Cena put him over at the end of that Raw in Chicago, I think that has to get someone's attention.
Sana though.
I hope so.
I think he connected for once.
Yeah, he did. He actually connected and delivered.
So, Carlos, your pick of the week.
My pick of the week comes from NJPW Dominion. It would be Okada versus AJ Styles. This match, I mean, this was just so good. Honestly, there is a lot to pick, a lot of good moments, but the end sequence of this match was just majestic. And I know that it's been said before, I'm not sure if it was Mark Henry or on the podcast, that of all the things that NJPW holds sacred, it's their end sequences. And this is testament how good they are at building those. And props to these two guys. Amazing cardio going into it as well. But this was just so good on so many levels.
All right. And my pick of the week, what I have to say is, I'm actually taking Neville versus Jericho from Beast and Bees.
Hey!
I don't know how I feel about Jericho nowadays. And I just want to tell you
fuck
that
Jericho.
I'm objective as fuck when I talk about wrestling. But this was a great match. And I was, you know, it's easy for someone to pick Owens versus Balor for the NXT Championship for the same show. But this one just stole the show from right under you, because everyone was expecting, again, the championship match. Nobody was expecting the old guy, first of all, to win, second of all, to steal the show. You didn't get that much time to work with. Thomas, what was the experience like when you were watching Neville or Jericho and Skinny Mike's?
Well, that match in particular, there was a lot of ooing and eyeing, but really, because it was the current jerker, we weren't expecting that much, but it exceeded expectations at the show. I mean, a lot to say about how good Jericho was that night.
I was surprised that, you know, they brought it.
Bringing that back, we marked out.
I was surprised that Jericho brought it, but then again, at the same time, hindi rin ako nagulat kasi it's Japan. Alam mo yun, parang it was a homecoming not just for Finn Balor, but also for Jericho. And I guess part of him also kind of got a bit ticked off ng dream match that match with Balor he was looking forward to got rescheduled to Okinawa the night before. That brings us to the end of episode 68 of the SGP podcast. Clearly, it's a very rudimentary makeshift episode. So,
we proved that we can actually do this over Skype. So, now that we've unlocked that technology,
so expect more international guests.
Yes.
Actually, yeah, that's the plan.
We can actually do that.
To bring in international guests, yeah, that's the plan. We just have to make sure that the connection's always steady. But yeah, for the most part, we've made this work. This call has been going for about an hour. That's a good thing. If you have any feedback, though, on not just this episode, but on, you know, the previous episodes of the SGP podcast, feel free to rate us on the iTunes store. It also helps that you subscribe, help us climb up the rankings. We're at number 127, and you can help us climb up higher. So just search for us, the Smart Gilas Filipinas podcast. You can also hit us up on Twitter. It's @_StanC for me, @RoIsWar for Ro, @CavemanCamus for Camus. We've got to give a shout out, of course, to the boys and the girls of PWR. Thank you so much for always letting the SGP podcast be the home of PWR. What else? Next week, episode 69.
You know what we got planned there.
Hey-o!
Well, we got something huge planned for episode number 69. Something huge.
Something enormous.
Yeah. So enormous, I hear it goes nom 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 nom.
That's what it is. Yeah, 69.
Yep. Yeah, I guess. Anyway, we're out of here. Happy weekend, everyone. I hope it's not raining wherever you are. Peace out.
Yeah, be safe. Be dry. Peace
out, guys.